Let's take God's Word and turn in His Word to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 21. Romans 5, beginning in verse 1, these are God's words, so let's give our attention to them. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Those are God's words. As we've heard, all are conceived in sin, Jews and Gentiles, all people everywhere, everyone here conceived in sin. And the Lord, through Paul, has proven fully on justification that justification, how one who is a sinner is credited, accounted with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Justification, beloved, is, he said here very clearly in verse 1, justification, he summarizes, is by faith alone. Not by works, not by what you do, but alone by what Christ does and our faith and trust in Him, which is a gift of God. And so now we see in the first five verses again that justification is by faith and by faith alone. But we see the fruit of justification. And then the remaining verses of chapter 5 show us the foundation of justification, and that of the death of the God-man Jesus Christ, perfect and righteousness, who has risen to life. Now you think of verse 8, it says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." And this is further explained as it goes on in the passage, through our union with Adam and our union with Christ. In sin, in our union with Adam, we were all sinners, and therefore death reigned in us. But it is only through Jesus Christ that we can be granted life. So union with Christ, there is not death but life. And that is the free gift unto all who come to Christ by faith. And so the chapter closes with these words in verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience," that's Adam, "many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one," that's Jesus, "shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound," so that our sin would be known, "but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so great might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." And so, you are called here not to remain in your sins, and if you remain in your sins, you are still in union with Adam and you will die eternally. You are called to come in faith to Jesus Christ and thereby have union with Christ, and given that He's risen from the dead, that you would have life in union with Him. We do not want death to reign. We want life to reign, and therefore we must come unto Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for Your Word. We're thankful for this chapter that teaches us of the union of Jesus Christ that we have in Him by faith alone. We're thankful for the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, to change our hearts. And we pray that that would be true of each one here. That each one would have salvation, would be justified by faith alone. And not that we would not think at all that we could be justified by our works, justified by our Bible reading or our praying or anything like that, but even justified by coming to worship. We're not justified in such ways. We're only justified by faith. And we'll learn, Lord, this evening about that. We ask that You would grant us that biblical faith and a love for Jesus Christ, Your Son. That we would, each one here, would be in union with Him. Father, we do plead also that You would turn our hearts from death to life. And as Romans will go on to do, will say that we ought we to then continue in sin that grace may abound? Of course not. We ought to, having been now believing by faith, now in union with Jesus Christ, we have life. We've been credited with the righteousness of Christ, who are of those who are Your people. And therefore, we must be who we are. We're clothed. We're no longer dead creatures, but living in Him. And so we have to have new garments, clothed with the righteousness of Christ, and living for Christ, instead of living for our former father, Satan, and unto death. And so, Father, we ask that You would turn our hearts, help us in this. Father, we are weak, we are frail. We constantly go back to our sins, even the sins that we heard considered this morning in murder and killing. Even when we consider our fellow man, our neighbor, our brothers and sisters in Christ who are made in the image of God, and yet we attack them, speak bad or ill behind their backs and to others, giving them a bad name or spreading a bad rumor. And Father, we have sinned against them, and therefore we've sinned against You. And in this, Father, forgive us of our sins. Grant us a love for our fellow man and a love for the gospel that we would call such souls to you, to turn unto you in faith. Father, we do ask that you would watch over this congregation. We ask for our souls, those who are downcast, that you would build them up and strengthen them and give them joy in Christ. Father, we ask that you would bless us, that you would work in our hearts godliness and righteousness, that you would give us a greater unity one with another, of which unity we know only comes in the truth. And so give us the truth. Your word is truth. And sanctify us by it. Wash us with the word. As Christ, we long to have, just as we're told in Ephesians 5, we long for Christ, our bridegroom, to wash us with the pure water of the word. And so, Father, we ask that we would be cleansed. Even now, as we continue worshiping you and hearing your word, give us ears to hear and eyes to see Jesus, your Son. Father, we ask that you would strengthen us in our weak bodies, in our frailty, to serve you, to be living sacrifices, holy and pleasing in your sight. And Father, we ask that you would build up this congregation in number and provide for us, that we would be able to, in some time in the future, soon, plant another church. The gospel would go forth all the more, and that your name would be praised among the nations. We do pray also for our presbytery. We're thankful that you have brought the one man to the Westminster congregation, giving them a pastor. We're thankful for another who passed his exams and will be ordained next month in Manhattan. We pray for the exams of the one who's been called to Laramie, that we've been praying for a long time. We also ask that you would provide ministers for those in Houston and San Antonio and the Spring, Colorado Springs congregation. For we know, some of us know well what it's like not to have the consistent preaching ministry and pastoral ministry. And so, Father, we ask that you would bring that for these congregations and bless them. Father, make us to be more zealous for the doctrines we believe in that are from your word. Give us a greater commitment to them and zeal. That you would grant us the ability to stand even against those who would attack us for these beliefs, who would try to usurp your authority over us as our King in Christ. And so, Father, give us that full and complete and perfect allegiance to Jesus Christ, who is the King of kings and ruler of rulers, for His crown and covenant. We pray that His name would be exalted. And finally, Father, we pray for our nation. Again, we pray that the wicked rulers, that we would, when we have interaction with them, that we would call them to repentance, call them to faithfulness, those who are professing Christians, to your law. Call them to turn unto Christ and covenant with Him. That this nation would turn from its wicked way, that it would no longer be judged in the many judgments you've sent and are sending, but that we would be relieved of the judgments. And Father, even in this time when our nation has not repented nor covenanted with Christ, Father, for the few righteous who remain, we pray that you would uphold us, your people, and the church here in this nation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.